Paul, chained in prison, writes a letter to his supporting congregation. The church in Philippi was the church that supported Paul and had been supporting Paul ever since he first went to Macedonia back in Acts 16. And so we're going to start the letter out, and we're going to start in verse 3 and see just what he has. So if you've got a Bible in a pew in front of you, that's where we're going to be. Philippians, all the little letters are right before the T's, before Hebrews, in the back of your Bible. The next last one of those is Philippians. So we're going to start there. Paul let the Philippians know that he's pleased with them. Don't you like it when somebody lets you know they're pleased with you? Hey, you like that, okay? Notice what it says. He says, I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you, okay? He says, every time I think about you, I grin. Okay, every time I think about you, I'm pleased. You know people like that, okay? I can't think about my nan without grinning, okay? There's people you know. He says, every time I think about you, he's not there because he's stuck in prison. He's chained up in prison. Why is it important to let people know that you're thankful for them? Because it's a motivator. If you're not thankful for them, they think, well, what am I, chopped liver? You know, don't you care about me? And so when you make it a point to encourage those around you, Barnabas, we talked about in our Bible class this morning, in Acts 9, he encouraged Paul so much, he encouraged the church in Acts 4 so much, that they changed his name from Joseph to Son of Encouragement, which is what Barnabas means. They say, hey, encourager, come here. Okay? And so Paul here is encouraging the people by letting them know that he's thankful for them. He says, every time I think about you, I'm thankful for you. All right? I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Now, what kind of kindnesses do we remember that have been shown by this family? Okay? I remember over 12 years ago, a big old U-Haul truck came into town and a bunch of people climbed on and said, hey, we want to help you move in. I appreciate that. I remember going to Corn Roast out at Steve and Donna's and all the people out there just coming, showing kindness. I remember all the people every other Monday coming in to load groceries, right? There's so many ways in which we've shown kindness, so many things for which to be thankful. When we came home after our wreck last September, people were there with food to bring us. Other people came and mowed the yard with a hand mower 3 times. Thank you, Alan. Okay? I mean, so many people have just showed kindness. And not just to us, to others. All the money y'all gave to help preach the gospel in Zambia and help him get medications. By the way, keep praying for Charles. He's leaving not this coming Monday, but 8 days away on Monday, headed to Africa until the 15th of May. So, Paul consistently prayed with joy for the Philippians church. Let's read the next verse. Verse 4, he says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayers with joy. He says, not only do I thank God for you, I pray for you. And when I pray for you, he says, I do it with joy. When I think about you, it makes me grin. He says, when I pray for you, I pray with joy. Now, why was it helpful for Paul to let him know that he was joyously praying for you? You know, there's some people, you need to get your attitude changed, so we're going to pray for you. Okay? That's one kind of prayer, and I need those. But there's other kinds of prayers when people pray for you, and they're just thankful for you. You know, those are kind of nicer to have. Well, this is one of those nice prayers. See, this is a nice letter. This letter is only about 4 pages long, 4 chapters, and it's 16 times in there. He tells them to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so it's filled with joy. So here, this is his first joy passage. He says, when I pray with joy. When I pray for you, I pray with joy. And that's it's important for them, it's important for us to know that people think about us, you know, I tell people there's some people that can light up a room just by leaving it. But he's not talking about some people light up a room by entering it. And so when they enter his mind, he rejoices because he's thankful for them. And we're to do that. Now, why should we develop the same habit? Because everybody likes to complain. And the Bible tells us, in fact, later on in chapter 2 of this same book, in verse 14, he says, do all things without arguing or complaining. So arguing and complaining isn't the way to get things done. Instead, complimenting people for what they're doing right. That's rejoice. That helps people. That strengthens the church. And so he says, when I pray for you, I do it with joy. He says, I pray for you all the time. When I graduated from Sunset back in 75, wow, before most of you were born. Anyway, when I did that, every Monday, and still today, every Monday, they get together in chapel and they pray for every graduate of that school. So I know on Monday morning I'm getting prayed for. It's kind of nice to know that you're being prayed for. Well, here, Paul's letting the church in Philippi know that they're not just being prayed for, they're being prayed for and prayed for with joy because he's happy for them. All right? Now, what's a minister's greatest joy? Right way back in the back of your Bible, right before Revelation, there's Jude, and right before Jude is 3 John. And in 3 John verse 4, John the apostle says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He says, the best thing you can hope for is to know that your kids are doing well. Well, he's not talking about his physical kids. He's talking about his spiritual kids, his spiritual family. You know how Paul calls Timothy his child in the faith? Well, the people that he's brought to Christ, he says, I have no greater joy. Remember a couple weeks ago when my friend John and his wife, Rhonda, at no, Sandra, excuse me, and her sister Mary all came here 42 years ago and baptized them into Christ. And it's so great to know that they're still serving the Lord. I love that. Okay? So a minister's greatest joy is to know that his children are walking in truth. And so Paul prays for joy, with joy, for the church there. Now in verse 5, Paul was thankful for the partnership that he had with. Not only is he thankful for them in prayer, notice what he mentions here. We'll go verse 4 again. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, the church started out, remember, Paul and Silas had gone, there was no synagogue in Philippi because there weren't enough Jews. You had to have 12 adult males who were married with children to have a synagogue. And there weren't enough in Philippi. And so they went to a place of prayer at the river. And the place of prayer at the river, they found these women praying. He baptized Lydia and her whole household. Remember that in Acts 16, verse 14 and 15. Okay. Well, then the church met in their home. But Paul gets arrested, and he and Silas were in stocks, like he told the kids this morning. And that evening, he baptized the Philippian jailer and his family into Christ. And so he says, that's how the church began in Philippi. He says, well, from that beginning onward, you guys have been supporting me. Every time he goes to preach, the church there supports him. You know how we support Charles so he can go to Zambia? Well, they're preaching him so he can go to the gospel to preach wherever he goes. And he was thankful for their partnership they had with him. Now, what kind of partnership did they have in the spread of the gospel? If you go back to chapter 4, this same book of Philippians, in chapter 4, starting verse 14, he says, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Okay? He says, whenever I went to preach, you guys helped support me. So that this is Paul's support letter. Okay? He's writing to the church in Philippi that supported him in his preaching. And so he says, I'm thanking you for your partnership in the gospel till now. Now, Why would I be thankful for the partnership and the spreading the gospel? Do y'all send a check up to Upper Michigan to help Dave and his work up there? You're sending a check over to Charles Peary every month to help him? When Charles Hill goes over there every year, we're helping support him. All that money y'all gather together to send medicine over there? You help in all those works. You held in the fair ministry when we go out and give away all those popsicles at the fair. I think it's third week in June. If they can get the fair put back together by that time, hopefully they will. And hopefully we'll be out there again giving out popsicles. Had the guy at Aldi's that we buy them from, he says, "You guys gonna?" "Yeah, we're gonna have them again this year." I guess he orders extra popsicles so we can have enough to do that. But you're helping spread the gospel. Is it our job just to help here? No. We're supposed to carry the gospel to the whole world. Right now, most Americans aren't Christians. And there's a lot of things going on in America that God's way upset with. Okay? But He's keeping America alive, I believe, because of the mission work we do across the world. And when God can't use us to help them, then America's gone. He'll find some other country to help him. So hopefully we will continue to do that. Thankful for our partnership in spreading the gospel. Now, Paul also has confidence in them, and his confidence is not just in them. His confidence is primarily centered not in them, but centered in God. Notice what he says in verse 6. Still back in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." Okay, whoever began a good work in you, he's going to keep it going. Well, who began the good work in it? Well, Paul's the one that preached. No, it's not about Paul. Paul didn't begin the work. He just shared the message. Who got the work done? What did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6? It says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Okay? God's the one who makes the church grow. And so he that began a good work in you, he's going to keep it going. He's going to keep on sharing the message of Jesus to the people who are here. Now, how would this confidence encourage the Philippians more than any other? See, if my confidence is in you, I mean, I think you guys are good, and I do have confidence in you. But if my confidence is just in you, you're going to mess up, aren't you? I know that because I mess up. We all sin and fall short of the glories of God, right? And so, but if my confidence is in God, God never messes up. God can take whatever happens. If Goliath comes against you, God can take care of it, right? Because he did for David in 1 Samuel 17. So whatever it is, God's the one that can take care of you in those things. So, why do we have reason to enjoy the same confidence? "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." If God's for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So can we have this same confidence that he that began a good work in us will be able to continue it all the way, forever? Okay, God's going to continue to work through his people who let him work. My job's to let him work through us. Okay, your job's let him work through you. My job's let him work through me. We're all supposed to do that. Now, Paul held the Philippian church in his heart. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says, "It's right for me to feel this way about you." About you all. See, he's from the south. No, not saying. About y'all, okay. Yeah. "Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." Paul's in prison, and who's still helping him out? Church in Philippi. How's he getting these letters out? You know, the church in Philippi is still helping him out. He says, you've been helping me out ever since it started. And he says, I hold you in my heart. Without you, I wouldn't be complete. He says, I hold you in my heart. Now, how did Paul explain his emotional attachment to the Philippians? He says, you're right here. You're in my heart. I care about you. I love you. How many events encourage us to have the same feelings? I've been to so many funerals, weddings. I've seen so many hugs. I've been blessed by so many hugs. So have you. I've watched you encourage each other, help each other through a lot of hard times. Why is it important to know that we continue to share God's grace? See the way he finished that off there in verse 7? In verse 8, he says, verse 8, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Okay? We're partakers with him of grace, he says in verse 7. But he says, God's my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Did they know that Paul cared? Yeah, they did. My wife and I planned to be able to preach until I was 70 or 70 and a half. And then I had a wreck in September. And I realized that I wasn't as healthy as I wanted to be, or had as much strength as I wanted to have. And I talked to my kids, and my kids kept saying, Dad, when are you going to retire? And when are you going to move and live close to us? And my son in Indiana wants me to move there, and it's too cold there. And my son in Texas wants me to move there, and it's too hot there, and it's too expensive to live in Austin. My son in Alabama, my daughter in Alabama, my son-in-law, Michael, they want me to move there, and it's less expensive to move there. If I move to Texas, I have to work full-time. If I move to Alabama, I only have to work part-time. So we've been talking and praying about this since September with the kids. And I talked to the elders here. I talked to my Bible class on Monday night. And I told them that maybe by the end of this summer, late July or August, I may be moving, I believe, probably to Alabama. And I can only do that because I'm confident that you guys have all the tools that you need to be the body of Christ that he wants you to be. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes we're like the farmer whose kid came home from ag school with all these great ideas on how he could farm better. And he says, if we do this stuff, we could double our production. And his dad said, son, I'm not farming half as good as I know how to now. And sometimes that's where we are. But I think we have the ability to pick it up. I think we have the ability to accomplish for God what he wants accomplished in this place. There are some amazing Christians that live in Circleville. Those of you who are visiting with us, this is kind of a tough Sunday. But the strength of this congregation is not some Yahoo preacher from up in Ashland. The strength of this congregation is the fact that Jesus lives in every one of these people. And they care for each other, and they bless each other, and they'll strengthen each other, and they help them through the hard times. I just want you to know that I have you in my heart, and always will. And if I could bring you all down with me to Alabama, I'd appreciate it. No, no, don't all move down there and leave the church up here. They need you here, okay? And by the way, I think you're going to do well. I also talked to the elders about the possibility of me trying to find a young preacher who loves God and who loves his wife, so that he can continue to bless this body of believers. And if you get a young guy who loves God and loves his wife, I remember 43 years ago plus when I was that young preacher, and a couple of elders helped, and their wives helped train us to be the minister and his wife that we needed to be. And you guys could do that for a young man and bless him, and he could bless you for decades, not just 12 years. So, I covet your prayers, and you will be in mine, and you will be in mine with joy. So, the lesson this morning is to regularly share joyous confidence with your Christian family. You can do it. There have been tough times in this congregation, and you've gotten through it. You can do it. And we hope and pray that will continue. And by the way, you're still stuck with me for a while. I ain't leaving for a while. Okay? Now, with whom have you shared your confidence in Christ? Let's make it a point to do that. Paul shared his confidence with them. We need to share our confidence with each other. I think you're doing well. I think you're doing okay. Okay? For whom are you regularly and joyously praying? You know, people are really messing up. Yeah, you're really messing up, and I'm going to pray for you. That's one thing. But hey, I'm praying for you with joy. That's something totally different. And we need to be doing that, as Paul did for the church in Philippi. Now, how are you partnering in spreading the gospel? We thank you all for helping us go to Zambia, to Uganda these last 2 years, and helping Charles go to Zambia. You know, and helping all the other works. Keep that up. The knowledge, the promise in Habakkuk 2:14 is still true. The knowledge and glory of the Lord will cover the earth as waters cover the sea. It's going to happen. So, how does your confidence in God help sustain your family in Christ? I need to know that my wife is pleased with me. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to know that our brothers and sisters in Christ are pleased with us. And they have confidence in us. And they know that we can make it because we're family. We lean on each other. We get that done. So, how close to your heart is your family in Christ? As Christ is, so also are we in this world. 1 John 4:18. We are here to be the love of Christ on the earth. So, how close is your family in Christ to your heart? Our jobs love on each other. I remember early in my ministry, I called up Gene, not Gene here, Gene where I was preaching up in NERC. If you're not from here, Newark is not Newark, it's NERC. Okay. And I asked Gene, I say, hey, are you up? He says, yeah, well, I'm down. Can I come over? And sometimes you just need that for each other. And call on each other. So have each other in your heart as Paul had the church in Philippi in his heart. So what I ask for is for you to continue to be that body of Christ. Encourage one another. Help one another. Strengthen one another. there will continue to be new souls coming in. Glad to have visitors with us today. There'll be new souls coming in to help sustain the body of Christ here. And we're going to tell all of our friends about Jesus like we've been doing. And Lord willing, we're still going to be here and do the fair this year and do the Ladies' Day in August. And those kind of things are all going to happen. I don't help with Ladies' Day because I'm a lady. But the thought is, I still want to help with the fair this year. We still want to do those things. We want to reach out. Let's be the blessing that we can be, because lo, I'm with you always, and he will be. If you're not yet in Christ, there's an invitation offered at the end of every lesson. If you're willing to die to your old life, you can be born in Christ, be a child of God from here on out. If you've already been baptized into Christ and you need somebody to pray with you about something, whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.